Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Tall23, back with another video. I know it's been a while, it's been a couple months since I've made one, but I've been busy with a lot of things, and I was sick for a while, I was in the hospital and everything, but that's a story for another day. So anyway, I have some time to kill today, so I decided I'm going to make this video. I already had all my notes ready from like 2 months ago or whatever. I was going to continue making videos, but like I said, I've been busy with other things. So I'm not done with this channel. I'm still going to upload from time to time. Just be patient, I guess. So anyway, today I want to talk about the subject of interpretation and interpreting the Bible and things like that, because this is something that a lot of people have confusion about. And a lot of people you might hear will say, well, that's just your interpretation. When you show them what the Bible clearly says, they'll say, well, you're interpreting it like that. You know, that's just your interpretation sort of thing. But I'm going to explain in this video that believing what the Bible clearly says and teaching, you know, clear statements in the Bible has nothing to do with interpretation. You know, if I show somebody that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and I say, well, the Bible says that salvation is only by belief. If they say, well, that's your interpretation, that's just them basically denying what the Bible says, and it's just an excuse. You know, it's something that they use to hide behind the fact that they don't believe it. But they'll just say, well, I'm just interpreting it differently. No, you just don't understand it or you don't believe it. Here's what the word interpret means. It just means basically to take something that's not clear and to make it clear. And we see examples of this in the Bible. When the Bible uses the word interpretation, it's usually talking about interpreting a parable or interpreting a dream or interpreting a foreign language. Okay? That would be making something that's not understood, understood. That's what interpretation means. Let me give you a few examples of this. Genesis chapter 40, verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them. Each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So in this example, this is, you know, Joseph, he's going to interpret these dreams that the baker and the butler have when he's in prison. It says in Genesis 42, verse 23 as well, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. So this is a different example where Joseph is the leader of Egypt, the second in command to Pharaoh at this time, and his brothers come to him, and they don't understand that Joseph can understand what they're saying, you know, speaking Hebrew or whatever language, because they think, you know, he's an Egyptian. They don't know it's Joseph, and it says he spake unto them by an interpreter. In other words, a translator, somebody who is interpreting what Joseph is saying. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6, here's an example of interpreting a proverb, interpreting a statement of wisdom. It says to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You'll see this couplet here where first it says the proverb and the interpretation, then it says the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So it shows that, again, interpretation has to do with making something that's dark or unclear clear. Just like a dream that, you know, dreams are very complicated sometimes, making a dream understood. You know, there's a lot of symbolism in these dreams that the butler and the baker had in the prison in Egypt, and then also a foreign language, you know, of Joseph speaking Egyptian or whatever language it was, and then that language being interpreted to the brothers of Joseph, or also making a proverb that's a dark saying and making it understood. Matthew 1:23, another example. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So again, we have an example of interpretation being a translation. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, and it's saying, which being interpreted is God with us. So it's explaining what that word means. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27 to 28. This chapter is about people speaking with other tongues, meaning speaking in other languages. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So again, we see in this example somebody speaking in an unknown tongue. So that means the congregation does not know this language. It is foreign to them. It's a foreign language. They can't understand it. So it says, well, basically you need an interpreter in order to actually be able to preach in that language, because if there's no interpreter, they don't understand what you're saying. So the word interpret has nothing to do with, you know, just, well, that's my opinion of what that means. It's taking something that's not clear, that's not understood, and making it understood. So if we're talking about interpreting the Bible, that would be things that are more complex, like Bible prophecy, for example. Things which have a lot of symbolism, which use a lot of parables, which use a lot of proverbs. Not clear statements where the Bible just, you know, gives a command or just a statement about doctrine. You know, if you have trouble understanding what the Bible is saying, there's some reasons why that might be, either because you're just not believing what it's saying, or maybe you're not even saved because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because the thing is, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit dwells within the hearts of all believers, and the Bible tells us that it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us what the Bible means. In John 14, 26, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." It says in John 16, verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So he's saying that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which will dwell within your hearts, will show you of these things and will teach you of all things. The Bible says in 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." So the Bible tells us that because we have the Holy Spirit, we don't even need any man to teach us. See, we don't need somebody to tell us what the Bible says, because we can open up the Bible, read it ourselves, and the Holy Spirit will guide us to help us to understand what the Bible means. But the Bible says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." We discern the things of the Bible through the Spirit. So if somebody just doesn't understand what the Bible says, it's just a complete mystery, it doesn't matter how much they read it and how much they believe it, if they just don't understand it, that could be a sign that they're not saved, possibly. Now, there's also other reasons. You know, maybe you're just holding on to traditions and you just, you know, don't want to believe it because you've been taught something your whole life. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes it just, you need to compare scripture with scripture. But the thing is, if there's a clear verse where the Bible just says something just flat out and it's just, "Well, I just don't understand that, or I don't believe that, or I don't see how that could be true," then there's a problem there, because the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will teach us of all things. But the point I'm trying to make is that all believers, because they have the Spirit, can understand the Bible, and that's why Christians who believe that salvation is by grace through faith and that you can never lose it, those who are actually trusting Christ as their Savior and have put all of their faith in Jesus, every Christian who does that typically comes to the same doctrines in terms of at least the main doctrines of the faith, of the Trinity and baptism and the local church and all the, you know, the fact that hell is eternal, you know, all the basic things that the Bible flat out says. Now, there might be some disagreements about, again, things that are a little bit more unclear, like Bible prophecy, because the Bible does not give an exact, you know, very clear thing in some regards to Bible prophecy. There's a lot of symbols. There's a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, etc. So you can see why people might have disagreements about like the end times, about how the timeline works out, things like that. But that's why that requires interpretation, okay? But when it comes to, you know, believing about beliefs about hell or beliefs about heaven, beliefs about salvation, beliefs about the Trinity, about baptism, about all the foundations of the faith, you know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the foundations of the faith. It talks about repentance toward God, or repentance from dead works and faith toward God. It talks about everlasting judgment. It talks about baptism. It talks about the laying on of hands. It talks about the resurrection of the dead. You know, these things are the foundational doctrines of the faith. If that's something that you just don't believe or is having trouble understanding, then it's not your interpretation. It's like, "Well, I'd interpret this differently." It's just that you're just not believing what the Bible says, or you just don't understand it because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us of all things. So interpretation is not for easy to be understood scriptures at all. Because in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 13, Jesus, or the Bible says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, the him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So he's talking about these unsaved people and how he's speaking in parables and they don't understand it. And he says, because, you know, they seeing see not and hear not, they don't understand. But the disciples, you know, they, to them are given the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. They can understand it, they can interpret it accurately, but unsaved people cannot interpret the harder things of the Bible. You know, that's why these things are a mystery to them. Now, Jesus explains parables in the Bible. So that's another thing I want to talk about, is that sometimes the Bible will actually give something that's a little bit unclear, like a symbolism or something, or a parable or something of that sort, but then it would explain what it means. And so the thing is, sometimes the Bible actually gives us the interpretation of a parable or interpretation of symbolism. Sometimes it's not up to us to interpret. Sometimes it's not left to our own study. Sometimes the Bible just flat out says what some of these dark sayings and some of these dark things actually mean. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 to 23, just as an example, this is the parable of the sower. Jesus explains what the parable of the sower is and what all the symbols in the parable of the sower mean. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So he's explaining, the person who received the seed by the wayside, that is, representative of the person who hears the gospel, but then Satan catches the word out of their heart, basically. And he says in verse 20, "But he that received the seed in his stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So Jesus, he gives a parable before this in Matthew chapter 13. But then after that, he explains what it means. He says, this represents this, this represents this. He explains what it means in clear statements. So this does not require any of our personal interpretation. If I say the parable of the sower is about somebody preaching the word of God, preaching the gospel, and this person person represents this and this represents this, if I say that, somebody can't say, well, that's your interpretation, because Jesus already explained what the interpretation is. He already explained what the parable was about. So the point of this is just to explain that, taking clear statements in the Bible and just believing it, just preaching it, is not interpretation, because the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what it means. And even some harder things in the Bible, even things like parables, which might be unclear at first, even those things sometimes are explained. So when it comes to, the things that I preach on this channel and the things that, my church preaches and some other churches preach, there are going to be some things that are left up to interpretation, but there's a lot of things where the Bible just clearly says what it says. And if you don't believe it, you're just not believing the Bible. You're just denying what the Word of God says, and you try to hide behind, well, I'm just interpreting it differently. No, if you just take what the Bible clearly says and you don't believe it, that's not an interpretation. That's just you not believing it. That's just you denying the Word of God. Let me give you an example of some verses that do not need any interpretation because they're just clear what they say and there's no way around it. Let me give you a really easy example. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Okay? There's only two words there. It's not hard to figure out. If you speak the English language, you know what that means. But if somebody comes along and they say, well, I don't think Jesus, ever wept. I don't think he ever cried. I don't think that ever happened. They're not just interpreting it differently. They're just denying what it says. Or verses about salvation. You'll show people at the door if you go out soul winning and preach the gospel and show people, well, the Bible says, it's only by faith. The Bible says not of works. The Bible says not by works of righteousness, which we have done. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Over and over again, believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. Very clear. And then they're like, well, that's just your interpretation, because I see it differently. No, you're not interpreting it differently. You're just not believing what I'm saying. Okay? Because it says, believe on Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's a guarantee. There's not, well, you maybe might be saved, but, it's not unclear. It's clear what it says. Not only that, but the Bible says it 90 times in the book of John and dozens of other times in the books of Paul and other books in the Bible where it just says over and over again, it's just by faith in Jesus. It even makes it very clear it's not of works in many other places. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if the Bible says it's by faith, it's by believing, it's not of works, it's to him that worketh not, and then you say, well, I think you still have to do works, you're not interpreting the Bible differently, you just don't believe the Bible, just admit it. So when we do interpret harder things in the Bible and things that are just, you know, not clear, there are some principles to take into account of how to interpret things accurately, because that's another thing we have to consider. We have the Holy Spirit. We know how to read the Bible. There are things which the Bible just clearly says that don't need an interpretation, but when it comes to things that do need interpretation, like parables and things that are not as clear, Bible prophecy, etc., there's other ways to determine what it's saying, like looking at the context, for example. That's very important, because sometimes you can take a verse out of context. And like, for example, you know, you take a verse and you quote something, but maybe that quote is from somebody who is, you know, not good in the Bible. Maybe you're quoting Satan, or maybe, you know, in the book of Job, there's a lot of chapters where it's Job's three friends. But at the end of the book of Job in chapter 42, God says that they did not say that which was right concerning my servant Job. So all the chapters about, you know, from Eliphaz and all Job's friends, all of what they said in those chapters, God says in chapter 42 was wrong. Okay, so you can't just quote, you know, from Eliphaz the Temanite or whatever and say, well, you know, speak that with authority. It's the word of God in the sense that Eliphaz actually said that. You know, that's God is quoting him. That's still true. That actually happened. That's what he said. But the words themselves of what him and his other friends are saying are not true, according to the Bible. So you have to look at the context. You have to look at the context of the book, what the book's about, or even just, you know, the immediate verses around it. The Bible also tells us that we compare spiritual with spiritual in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. You know, that's another thing. You need to compare the Bible with itself. The Bible often defines itself, like, you know, the example I gave earlier. You can't just, you know, ignore the clear explanation of Jesus of the parable of the sower or other parables where he explains, well, this is what this means. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture, and even you can go to other books which are parallel books, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, there's some things in those books that line up with each other where maybe it gives a different detail or maybe uses a little bit different wording. So you can compare these things to each other to understand them better. And then also, another good principle of interpretation is using the actual definition of words. This is something that kind of irks me because I see a lot of people doing this today, where they just think that the Bible is just like some book that just has a bunch of words that don't mean what they actually say. So they will just like, well, what does that mean? You know, there's this word, believe. You know, what does believe mean? Does believe? I think believe means to do works. Well, no, believe does not mean to do works. Believe means to believe, okay? Faith means faith. Works means works. Grace means grace. Gift means gift. It's not like, well, just all of a sudden, because it's the Bible, all these words have different meanings now. Hell means hell. Fire means fire. Everlasting means everlasting, okay? They don't have different meanings just because it's in the Bible, okay? The Bible was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek, and then it was translated in English. The reason why the words on the page say what they say is because that's what the words mean in the English language, okay? So using the actual definition of words, especially, you know, when the Bible defines what the definition is, because sometimes words have different definitions, but if the Bible defines what the definition is, then, you know, it's pretty clear what that means. Like, I'll give you an example. There was one person recently who was asking me, what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? And I said, well, it means to show them respect, because that's what the word honor means if you look up it, up in the dictionary. But then even the Bible uses the word honor in that context as well. But then he's like, well, you know, is that really what it means? You know, is it, could it mean this or could it mean that? It's like, well, that's what the word honor means. It's like, you can't just be like, well, this is the Bible. I don't understand what it means just because there's just some, you know, this word and I don't like it. I don't like, I think it might mean something different because I don't want to do this particular thing. It's what the Bible says. If the Bible says honor your father and your mother, it means to honor your father and mother. If you don't know what honor means, get a dictionary and look it up. It's not that hard. But yeah, people just, when they interpret things, or, and again, that's not interpretation either, because like I said, that's pretty clear of what it means, but that's just a random example. But yeah, the point is, you just have to just take it for face value. If something clearly says something, that's what it means. And if something's a little bit harder to understand, look at the context. You know, compare spiritual with spiritual. You know, compare the Bible with itself. Then you can understand it better. And also pray about it as well, because the Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us of all things as the Bible promises. Now, let me give you an example of like a faulty interpretation or something where somebody will say that they interpret it differently, right? Like, and I've been giving a few examples already, but just as another example, Leviticus 20, verse 13, you know, a verse that a lot of people don't like. And again, it's a verse where it's clearly what the Bible says, but people just don't believe it. And then they say, well, that's just your interpretation, you know. It says in Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Now, I think that's a pretty clear statement. This verse does not need any interpretation. But a lot of people will interpret it differently by twisting it and saying things like, well, this is not talking about every sodomite, this is only talking about pedophiles. Or being put to death, that's just talking about God killing them. I had somebody tell me that one time, that, well, God's going to judge them, God's going to kill them, but we shouldn't put people to death. But that's, again, not what it says. If that's what you believe and you say, well, I'm interpreting it that way, you're not interpreting it, you're just not believing what it says, because what does it say? It says if a man also lie with mankind, okay, it doesn't say if a man lies with a child, okay, now obviously that would apply as well, but the point is that this is particularly talking about sodomites. As he lieth with a woman, okay, so in the same way that he would lie with a woman, that's again pretty clear, I don't think anybody misunderstands what that means, both of them, so that's the man and the man he's with, have committed abomination, they, not he, shall surely, meaning for sure, absolutely, be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So just in case it wasn't clear what God wants them or wants to happen to these two sodomites, he says their blood shall be upon them, okay? That means they need to die. They need to be killed, okay? So if you think, well, sodomites should not be killed, sodomites should not be executed, then you just don't believe what the Bible says, because that's what God commanded, okay? If you think, well, I think, you know, they should be given a chance, I think, you know, sodomy isn't a sin, I think, you know, they can still be saved or whatever, again, you're just not believing what the Bible says. And this is not a matter of interpretation, it's a matter of whether you believe it or not, okay? Jesus said, he that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. I hope this video helps people out there who are just, you know, stuck in this stage of just denying the Bible and just hiding behind this whole thing of interpreting it differently. The point of this is hopefully to help some people realize maybe you're just not saved because you don't believe the Bible. Now, here's the thing. We have to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved, but the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and Jesus said, if you don't hear what God's words say, it's because you're not of God. So you do not belong to God. You have not been born again. You are not a child of God if you deny what the Bible says. If I show you the Bible says, you know, Jesus wept, and you say, well, I don't think Jesus ever wept. I think Jesus never cried. I think Jesus was, you know, this false idea of this world that men always have to just never be emotional. If you think that's who Jesus was, for example, just as an example, you're just don't believe the Bible. I don't believe you're saved because you're rejecting the Word of God, okay? So, and also, you know, if you can't understand a clear statement where it's just, well, this is what the words on the page say, then maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit. Again, maybe you're not saved. So consider these things. And also, if you are saved, if you know for sure, if you do believe it, and you're just maybe struggling because you have a background, well, you know, my background is I believe this, this is the church I grew up in, but maybe you have trusted Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, maybe you are saved, maybe you are going to heaven when you die, but you need to start interpreting the Bible, well, first of all, you know, not interpreting things that of what the Bible clearly says. If it says what it says, just believe it. But then other things that are a little bit harder to understand, when you interpret it, use it according to biblical principles. Like again, comparing spiritual with spiritual, looking at the context. Don't just, you know, just believe whatever you hear. You know, you have to study it. You have to actually read it and interpret it wisely. Pray unto God. Pray that the Holy Spirit reveal those things unto you. So hopefully this video helps. Hopefully this makes sense, everything I was saying today. Again, I didn't really have much preparation for this video. It's kind of impromptu. Like I said, it's been a while since I made one. Just had some time to kill today, so I was like, okay, might as well do this. So yeah, hopefully I can make some more videos in the future sometime, in the next few weeks or whatever. I do have some plans for things. Last time I made a video, I'd moved into a new house, and now I'm in a different house, actually. I'm watching my friend who's out of the country. I'm house-sitting his house at the moment. So Yeah, so I've got this all to myself, so I got plenty of time, or not plenty of time, but plenty of opportunities. I don't have, you know, no distractions or anything where I can make videos like this. So thank you, everybody, for watching. God bless you, and have a nice day. Goodbye.